At the conclusion of this gospel, I think it's easy for each of us to say, wow, life is not fair. Just ask a Giants fan. Ouch. This gospel is a challenging gospel because life really isn't fair. And it's interesting because while I was preparing my homily for the week and praying over the readings, at one point I just decided I was going to Google "life is not fair" and see what comes up. And I'm glad I did that because I came across an incredibly interesting article, the points of which I want to share with you this evening. The title of the article is, "The Problem Isn't That Life is Unfair, It's Your Broken Idea of Fairness." It's written by a gentleman by the name of Oliver Emberton, and he is a blogger in the UK. He has dual citizenship. I looked at this article, and as I read through the article, I thought to myself, wow, this guy is filled with brilliance as it regards our human condition. And he explains why life isn't fair using three rules. But by the time I got to the end of the article, I needed to know a little bit more about who this Oliver Emberton was, because the article, while it speaks volumes to our human condition, it's limited to our earthly experience. And lo and behold, when I looked at Oliver's About page, he refers to himself as an agnostic atheist and a humanist. So the article made even more sense for me in reading it from his perspective. But I wanted to put a spin on it, the spin of faith, because that's something that each of us here share. Ironically, this weekend, if we look at what transpired yesterday in the celebration of Sister Madeline's 50 years, a golden jubilee of work as a Sister of St. Joseph, and then today at the 11 o'clock Mass, we welcomed Kaylin Newell. Now, Kaylin was baptized in the Catholic faith as an infant, but spent her adulthood not participating in our faith, not being churched, as we say. Now, it's interesting, that contrast, right? And I want to suggest to you that we can sort of look at that in the context of this evening's gospel. Someone who spends 50 years laboring for the good of the faith, working in schools, working with children, going through the hard knocks of ministry, and yet someone who was baptized as a Catholic but spent their entire life away from the church, but now deciding to come back to the church. I want to suggest to you that there's nothing unfair about that from God's eyes, because God loves Kaylin and Sister Madeline equally and uniquely, just like he loves each and every one of us. Essentially, that's what's really being taught in this gospel as it regards the kingdom of God. The laborer who started early in the morning is angry because the landowner is making everyone equal. And that's what God does. And only God can make everyone equal. In this article, Oliver speaks about the first rule as to why life is not fair. And that first rule is, life is a competition. And it is. If you think about your own life, where are you competing? At work, at home, on the freeway. Think about life as a competition. And as soon as we enter into any form of competition, someone has to lose. But if we look at this from God's eyes, there is no competition. Each one of us comes here longing to be closer to our God. And God is not looking for someone who's going to excel at that. God is merely looking for everyone to be close to them so that they can be close to God. It makes me think about the afterlife, this promise of eternal life, which is really what the promise of the daily wage is in this parable. The promise of eternal life, you really can't get any better than that. And yet, I would suggest that in our human frailty, there's still a tendency to think about competition. How many of us think that when we get to the pearly gates, there's going to be special seating for the saints? There's going to be a special seat for Sister Madeline because she spent 50 years in ministry. And perhaps Kaylin's seat will be different. I don't know about you, but if I'm fortunate enough to enter into eternal life in the presence of God, I think the last thing I'm going to want to do is look around and compare myself to anyone else who's there. I think I just want to enjoy and celebrate that gift. And it's that spirit of competition that can get us into trouble and veer us away from recognizing and valuing accomplishment. The second rule of life not being fair is that you're judged by what you do, not by what you think. And Oliver Emberton uses a brilliant example in that. He suggests that what if you hear a song and you think that it is the greatest song you've ever heard, but you're the only one that hears it? That's not how the world works. The reason a song becomes great is because somebody plays it on the radio. And a lot more people get to hear it. And a lot more money gets poured into hearing it. So it's really not an accomplishment unless it makes headlines, unless it becomes popular, unless it's well known. The good news for us, though, is God is not judging us by what we do or how we think. God is judging us by who we are. And the best way for us to be who we are is to know God as well as we can, because God knows us that well. That's how God is going to recognize us and invite us into the eternal life he promises. The third and final rule, I think, is very interesting too, because he suggests that our idea of fairness is rooted in self-interest. If you think about that for a moment, it couldn't be more true. How come two people can disagree on what is fair? So the idea that our self-interest gets in the way of life being fair is rooted in original sin. It's rooted in the idea that we can be distracted toward worldly things and away from God because of the false notion that we don't need God and that God does not need us. And so our self-interest is really our greatest foe. I preached this homily today at the 11 o'clock Mass. And a woman came up after Mass and she said to me, you know, Deacon, I grew up in a home of means. We wanted for nothing. But every so often, I would go to my daddy and I would say, Daddy, that's not fair. And she said, her dad would say to her, well, sweetie, a fair is a place where pigs get ribbons. Our earthly experience is flawed. And our fairness can only come from turning ourselves over to the will of God, to working at the practice of the faith. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, explains it really well. He talks about the turmoil of his own existence in life, and even looking forward to death. Because in looking forward to death, he looks forward to the promise of salvation. But he says, life in Christ is everything to him. Death has no gain unless we live our life in Christ. And that's why we come here. Each one of us comes here because we want to have an encounter with our God. And we bring our frailties, our weaknesses, our sinfulness, our brokenness. But we're not here to compare that. What we're here to do is to be filled with the Spirit of God. To be filled literally and figuratively with Christ. So as we come forward this evening to receive Christ in this Eucharist, let it be our prayer that in receiving him, we can turn ourselves over to welcoming him into ourselves. We can open our hearts to be mindful of our own self-interest, to reject the things of the world that distract us from being closer to God, and that we can conduct ourselves in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ.